Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, welcome to Call of Islam. I'm here with Mr. Abbas Ali Barati. We're here to help you with your questions on ideology, philosophy, and other related issues. You can call us at 0098-251-291-0551 to forward us your questions and comments. And you can also send us an email at coi@irib.ir. Mr. Barati, welcome.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you very much.
Mr. Barati, I would like to start off immediately. I have a simple yet very important question to ask. Why is it that Muslims face the Kaaba when performing their prayers? I know it is the center of the earth, but what is the meaning behind it? Also, why did the Prophet Ibrahim and Ismail, may peace be upon them, why did they build the Kaaba? And what is the story behind the black stone?
Thank you very much. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The Kaaba, or the house of God in Islam, is our Qibla, our direction in our prayers. Everywhere we are on the earth planet and even in the space, everywhere we should face to Kaaba, or direction of Kaaba, and say our prayers. But the story behind Kaaba is referring to ancient times, even before the era of Prophet Ibrahim and Prophet Ismail. Because it is better to say Ibrahim and Ismail rebuilt the Kaaba. They are not founders of Kaaba. Kaaba was founded and established in the time of Adam and Eve. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Archangel Gabriel to show Adam, the first prophet and the first human being on the earth, to build a house for God, a temple for worshiping God. So Adam is the real founder of Kaaba, and Kaaba faced a lot of incidents and catastrophes, and many times was demolished or destroyed, and maybe in some of the catastrophes and incidents, this part of the world was sank. And when another civilization or group of people came to this world, they forgot Kaaba. And Kaaba was not populated, was not habited. Also Mecca and the surrounding areas were not habited in the time of Prophet Ibrahim.
I am correct, the Kaaba, after it was built by Adam, may peace be upon him, it was destroyed during the time of Noah, right?
It's possible one of the times that it was
because
destroyed.
Because of the flood that took place.
Yeah, you're right. And even the black stone was thrown to a very close mountain, is called Abu Qubais. Now is disappeared because of new constructions in Mecca. Disappeared, but is very close to Kaaba and is famous in tradition of our Prophet and in the history. And even Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, peace be upon him and his progeny, told that we like Abu Qubais. We like the mountain of Abu Qubais. So even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Gabriel to show Ibrahim the place and the foundations of Kaaba, and also the place black stone was hidden in Abu Qubais. So Abraham brought black stone from Abu Qubais mountain and put it in its place.
But isn't the black stone supposed to be from heaven?
Yes, for sure. Black stone is not from the stones of the earth. Maybe I referred to this in another program and told you that religion and science, both of them are evidences and have proofs for this, that the type and the nature of black stone shows that it does not resemble other stones from the earth. Also, it was a kind of myth for Europeans, for Westerners, in this regard, in this matter. I was attending a seminar, a conference in Mecca, in literary house of Mecca, or as I can say, literary seminary of Mecca. They call them. They have special places for literature and arts and culture in Mecca. And in major cities of Saudi Arabia, they call them Nadi al-Thaqafi, or club, even you can say, literary club. In Mecca, there is a club of this type. I was attending a conference. One of the famous contemporary Egyptian scholars, professors, was delivering a lecture. His name is Dr. Naji al-Najjar. Even he has a website on the internet by this name, Naji al-Najjar.
Okay.
And he is famous for his ideas about scientific miracle of Holy Quran. So he explained for us how European countries and European scientists were in a doubt and in a dilemma about the nature of this black stone. So they decided to send a person to Mecca and give him a kind of mission, secret mission, to come and hide himself among the pilgrims and approach to this black stone and break a very, very small part of this black stone with support and help of some other people and take it to Europe for scientists to make analysis on it and become sure if this stone is resembling to other stones of the area or of the earth or not, to be in a clear result about it, because all of the traditions say that this stone is coming from the heaven, is not from this earth planet. So he was finally successful in his mission and managed to break a very small part of black stone and take it to Europe for the special scientists and analysts, and they did their analysis and discovered that this is true 100%. This black stone does not resemble to any of other stones, not only in the area, in Arab Peninsula, but in the whole Earth planet. So we have traditions that say this black stone is sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the earth and is placed in this part of Kaaba to be a sign and to be a symbol or a symbolic hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for making covenant with Allah. Every pilgrim which comes to Kaaba and pay a visit to Masjid al-Haram and do tawaf, he or she can touch this stone to make a covenant with his Lord.
Might it be a meteorite originally?
No.
I think a lot of people will ask themselves this question.
No, there are traditions. There are reliable traditions from Prophet himself and all of the scholars of Islam. They had rectified this tradition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were a lot of different people from different religions which paid tribute and respect to the Kaaba, even Hindus, Christians, and Jews. Which were present in the Arabic Peninsula prior to the prophethood of Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him and his family. And I think this in itself might indicate, you know, that we have shared prophets, we have shared ideas, shared doctrines. It shows that the religion of Islam is a continuation of this prophethood, because right now we see that Christians of this modern age, they don't give any respect to the Kaaba, they don't see it as something holy or whatever. Well, we, on the basis of historical documents and oral traditions, etc., we know that even the Christians and Jews and the Hindus and even Zoroastrians, they paid tribute to it. I don't know, maybe you can explain us a little bit more about this, because for me personally this is a interesting point.
Yes, even Islam when introduces itself and presents itself, Islam says, I'm not another religion, but I am teachings of Ibrahim. I am a kind of emphasis on what Moses brought and what Jesus brought, and all of them are called Islam, not this only religion. So Islam is not a revolution against Christianity or a denial for Christianity and Judaism. But as you told, Islam considers itself continuation and emphasis on the Abrahamic religion and Abrahamic way and path, and believes that Ibrahim, or Abraham as the Westerners say, is the father of Jews and Christians and Muslims, and all of them should respect him and respect his tradition. And if we believe in this, we find that Ibrahim is the founder of this house. So when Ibrahim is the founder, none of us, no Jews, no Christians, not Muslims, can oppose him, because he is our father and our leader and our founder, and this house is built by him. Maybe some of them have not enough information about the life and about the biography of Ibrahim. Because of that, they don't pay respect to Kaaba. For example, they don't have any evidence for this, but they say, we don't know. We ignore about establishment of Kaaba by Ibrahim. But if they go and refer to the history and find out what is the life of Ibrahim and to which places he traveled and what he has done, all of the activities and deeds and works of Ibrahim, if they study all of them deeply, they will find it, and then they will change their mind. Allahu Akbar, 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 Allahu Akbar. What are the ways in which a Muslim may or can worship Allah? Is prayer the only way of worship, or does it also include meditation, propagation of the faith? Can you please mention, elaborate and explain upon the various ways of worshipping Allah? Yes, all of these are mentioned here are different single worshipping and different symbols of worshipping. But worshipping is not only one of these or another. Worshipping is to respect and to obey Allah. You find out what your Lord wants and do it. It is a very complete and perfect and universal meaning of worship. So if Allah wants you to pray, then you pray. If Allah wants you to fast, you fast. If Allah asks you to mention Him or to name Him or to, for example, do any other kind, for example, to serve others or to be kind to others, you respect and obey. So worship is respect and obedience. Respect enough, respect in a way you believe that God is your Lord and you should serve Him, obey Him, know your Lord, and know what your Lord wants and do it. That's enough, and this is worship. Depends. Yes, Allah wants you to pray in the time of prayer, fast in the time of fasting, mention Him in the time of mentioning, or do da'wah when you are obliged and when you are told to do da'wah. So, like a servant, like a follower, you obey Him. So, depends on the time and the duty that the Lord wants you to perform.
Okay. What is the most efficient way of worship of all these types, and what is the most important one, as indicated by the Prophet himself?
Yeah, some of them are more important than others, but does not mean that you should leave others and do only this, but means that they are more important and they are initial for others and they are useful and helpful and makes you able to perform other duties. In this regard and in this manner, if we look at the issue, we find the prayers is the most important one and the most initial one, because Prophet himself, peace be upon him and his household, has told your prayer is your column of religion. Means the whole religion is based on prayers. Mm-hmm. Prayers is a covenant and kind of symbol for showing loyalty to your Lord. So if you do this, means that you are going to perform other duties and you are going to continue your service to your Lord.
Okay, I would like to ask you a bit more about meditation. What's the difference in the meditation, or also called dhikr, as Muslims do, and the type of dhikr that other people in other religions carry out?
Yes, it depends on the meaning you want and you aim from the word meditation. Meditation, if it is a kind of performance like what you find in Buddhism, and to sit in a place and keep silent and don't move and only look at one, for example, subject and imagine it and forget everything else and continue to do this. They have special, for example, works and taxes for it. No, this is not wanted in Islam. This is not meant in Islam. Islam does not suggest this and does not advise this. But if the meditation means you mention something, you keep memorizing it and the duties towards it, in a way helps you to continue your duty and remember your covenants and your promises, mentioning it. Zikr is okay in Islam. So zikr, even Islam is, because of that is what we say, Islam is the easiest religion, is the the most simple religion at the world, and in the same time, the most efficient and useful and sufficient religion of the world. Because Islam does not want you to do what the murtad people do in, what you call
fakirs.
Do in India. For example, leave the job, leave the society, go to a, for example, closed room and separate yourself from the world, from the society, from your family, from your jobs, and cut the relations with the surrounding world, and only sit in a place and look in one, for example, thing, and only imagine it. No, Islam does not ask you to make this trouble and this bothering for yourself. No, is enough to remember your Lord and your duties. Mm-hmm. Even when you are working, even when you are doing servicing to others, even when you are, for example, playing, you can have dhikr. You can have mentioning your Lord, and don't forget your duties. Even when you are resting, in our tradition, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked Moses, the glorious prophet, O Moses, mention me in all of the moments of your life, everywhere and every time, mention me. Moses answers, O Lord, there are some moments and some situations I am ashamed to mention you in that time and mm-hmm. in that place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, there is no exception.
For example, the toilet.
For example, in some private situations, I am ashamed. Mm-hmm. I cannot mention you there. Allah says, no, even there you mention me.
Mm-hmm.
So Islamic meditation is so much easier and more simple than other religions, even than Buddhism and Zen and Shinto and other religions. So you can have dhikr and you do your usual work and your daily life, and in the same time you mention Allah by tongue, by mouth, or by heart.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is easy.
Okay, thank you. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, subhanallah, Allah, Allah, alhamdulillah, wa shukru lillah, ala ma hadana, subhanallah, Allah, Allah, alhamdulillah, 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 subhanallah, Allah, Allah, alhamdulillah, wa shukru lillah, ala ma hadana, subhanallah, Allah, Allah, alhamdulillah, 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 subhanallah, Allah, Allah, alhamdulillah, wa shukru lillah, ala ma hadana,
Subhanallah.
How will your salat or your prayers, how will they be rated if you are not an Arabic speaking person and you do not know the meaning of the Quran when you are reading it? Some of the letters that look alike and you cannot pronounce them in the right way, it might cause a problem for you during the moment that you have to read these surahs or chapters for your prayers to be accepted. What's the ruling on this? Could you elaborate a bit more on this?
Thank you very much. As I told you in the previous answer, Islam is the easiest, most simple and the most easy religion in the world. And in the same time, the most efficient religion in the world. Because of that, we have a tradition from our Prophet. He says, peace be upon him and his progeny. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at your appearances and your speeches, your words, your languages, your rhetorics. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at these superficial things, but he looks at your hearts and your deeds. Because of that, the person, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has selected him to declare azan. Azan, you mean for a prayer, declaration for prayer, or invitation for prayers, congregational prayers. He was Bilal Habashi, from Abyssinia. This man could not even pronounce the letter she, because in Arabic there is a letter
shin,
she. Ashhadu Allah ilaha illallah. Bilal was not able to pronounce it suitably and properly.
How would he pronounce it?
He pronounced it ashhadu Allah ilaha illallah. They came and told Prophet Muhammad, you can find a better person who pronounces azan better than him, and he is Arab. He's from Mecca or from Medina, or knows Arabic rhetorics and Arabic language better, and can pronounce in accent of Hijaz or accent of Arab Peninsula, and this is not good because this is public relations. You can change him with another person. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam told, no, I like Ashad from Bilal more than Ashhad from others. Means that Islam is not a superficial religion which looks at if somebody is from India and he cannot pronounce Arabic words, or somebody is from Europe or from America or South America and they are far from Arabs and Arabic accent, because of that they cannot pronounce Arabic words very well, or they cannot understand the meanings of the sentences very well, and they don't know 100% of the meaning of the words that they are saying in their prayers, so because of that their prayers is not rated. No, Islam is not in this method. This is not the method of Islam and method of Prophet of Islam and method of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not deal with people in this method, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with people and judges upon what they have in their own hearts and their intentions.
However, what you said in the at the beginning of the question about the adhan is something which is different from praying. I mean, for example, one of the conditions for the acceptance of prayer is that the pronunciation of what you are uttering should be correct. Otherwise, it will not be accepted. Of course, there's a difference between someone who does not have the capability of doing so in the first place, but if the person can do it in a proper way but mispronounces it, there's a problem. And also, a person who is not able to pronounce Arabic properly, people cannot pray behind him. So, I mean, this is a bit different, right?
Yes, but not in this tough manner you told. They have to pay a little bit, for example, attendance to it and try for it, and according to their ability, as you told, they try to have a better pronunciation. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not ask them if they are not able to make it very well, because even the way they are educated and their mouth and their throat is educated and habited with, it is different. So they should try to pronounce it in a proper way. But it is not invalid if mm-hmm. their prayer is not like a, for example, Saudi person.
Mm-hmm.
Is not completely 100% like him. It does not mean. Even most of the marjas and authorities don't issue fatwa for this, that if you cannot, for example, pronounce it like an Arab, you have to try. Mm-hmm. You have to try to make, for example, a little bit differences between similar letters like they and ze and they. But it is different. Even for Arabs, you know, majority of Arabs, even they cannot pronounce these letters very well, as the
for example,
people,
the and
yeah,
the.
For example, Egyptians.
Mm-hmm.
Egyptians don't pronounce it like Saudis
mm-hmm.
or like people from Bahrain or
Iraqis.
Yeah, Iraqis, they pronounce it in another way. North Africa pronounce in another way. Egyptians.
I know, for example, in the Iraqi accent,
yeah.
Qaf is a lot of times pronounced as ge.
Yeah. And in Egyptian accent, je is pronounced ge.
Mm-hmm.
But they cannot say their prayers in this way. They cannot say, for example,
Ehdina sirat al-mustaqim.
They have to try too, because they are Arabs, they are closest. Also, we have to try to make better our accent. But it is not meant that all people pronounce it like for Hijaz,
mm-hmm.
Hijazi people.
I think the most difficult letter for Westerners to pronounce would be the Ayn.
Ayn, yeah, and Khe for some of them, because they some of them they don't have Khe, Khe as I pronounce it. They don't have a lot of letters. Even mm-hmm. Arabs, they don't. For example, Ve in Egypt, you cannot, and they say Ze.
Mm-hmm.
Haza.
Mm-hmm.
Haza, for example,
Egyptians.
Says, even.
I thought this was limited to Iranian persons
no,
only.
No, even Egyptians. Yeah. Even he, they pronounce it like he.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Really?
For example, yes, it happened as a story and joke, and it is reality. In Yemen, in the time of Abdel Nasser, he sent a lot of maybe more than 40,000 people to Yemen to help Yemenis in different jobs and careers, among them teachers and professors for universities, high schools, schools. It happened one day, one of the students stood up and asked the teacher, why you Egyptians don't pronounce Arabic very well and say instead of ha, ha. Instead of the ze, instead of qaf, a, qala, ala, instead of je, ge, the teacher became very upset and answered him, Subhanallah, man ala haza, haza ma yaguz. Subhanallah, man ala haza, haza ma yaguz. He made four, for example, mistakes, which the student mentioned them unintentionally mm-hmm. in his reaction and his answer. So it is forgiven to a level, but they have to try to make it according to their ability and time and chance.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I appreciate you.
We run out of time. As usual, I would like to finish this session with giving our contact details. Dear listeners, you can call us at 0098-251-291-0551. Send us your comments, send us your questions, whatever. We will try to help you out and solve it. You can also email us at coi@irib.ir. Thank you very much for listening. في أمان الله السلام عليكم الله الله يا الله الله يا الله الله يا الله 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 يا الله الله يا الله الله يا الله الله سبحان الله حمدا لله
خمسة أطفي به حر الجحيم الحاطمة المصطفى والمرتضى وابناهما والفاطمة الفاطمة
يا الله الله يا الله الله يا الله الله يا الله الله سبحان الله حمدا لله ولا إله إلا الله سبحان الله حمدا لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر
من خمسة أطفي بهم حر الجحيم الحاطمة